have a couple of things I want to show right as we get started. Now, am I loud or soft or what? Am I all right?
Let them take care of
it. Okay, well, because I can get loud, so guys, you know, don't, you all know that. And I'm liable to, so just keep it nice so that people don't go, oh, I want them to hear what I have to say today. We have lots of gifts. I have a bag in the back for ladies that didn't come to the keep. No, the Mother's Day brunch. I have these cool little earrings with attached to a card. The card says, remember. All right, and then the earrings are attached to it, and it says, the king is wild for you. See, and that'll be reminiscent of what we heard at the keep. So if you did not get a pair of those cool chili pepper earrings, because the king is wild about you and your hot little ears, you can have the card. Yes, you can have the earrings. All right, then you need
it. That's from Psalms 45:11, by the way.
Yes, the king is wild. He gets nervous when we use like other translations. The message, it's the message. No, that's you wanted to verify that it came from the Bible. Yes, scripture. The king is wild for you, ladies. All right, Psalm, where is it?
45:11.
Psalm 45:11. That's the message version. So if the king is wild for you, get those little chili pepper earrings, put them on those hot little ears and say, yes, Lord, I'm listening, Lord. Be like Samuel, all right? And then I want to show you something. This picture is answered prayer. I've kind of kept it a secret, but do you all remember this lady? This is Leanne Johnston, and her and Oliver are a part of our congregation. It's just there's no work here. So they were the people that jumped out of planes and
extreme
did
sports.
Extreme sports and all those kinds of things. Well, we prayed for her, I think, two Mother's Day, because she couldn't get pregnant. And God is so kind. I want you that are waiting for any promise to just take a good look and know that God, in his loyal love kindness, he knows how to answer. He knows when to answer. Okay? And if, you know, all the promises of God are what?
Yes.
And amen. So by us. Now listen, if the yes doesn't come when you've been sincerely asking and asking for what God would want to give you, then the reason, what we have learned in the Bible study class, the reason there's a no is because he's got something better. He has an extreme reason himself to hold back. That's why the miracle doesn't come. And I'll probably get into it, and if I don't, that's free. I have another announcement. Pastor and I have an announcement. We're going to have a baby. We're going to have a grandbaby. I know you didn't know what to do with that. You were starting to calculate the age. Okay.
Did you see their faces when you said we were going to have a baby?
Well, this light is so glaring, I can't see anything. I hope I can see my scriptures. Yes, Michelle is... Thank you, G. Good, good, good. Michelle's pregnant. Michelle and Peter. And so we're going to be first-time grandparents, and that'll be around Thanksgiving. And I wanted so badly to tell you. Now, you have to promise. Everybody look me in the eyes. I will know if you don't do this. She said, Mom, please beg First Assembly to not Facebook me because I am not telling my students until Thursday. So there is a silent code. Mum is the word on any Facebook. And if there's somebody out in that part, in that hallway that's not hearing it, you get them in because I'll track them down if they talk about it. I'll come bash their computer. Okay, no. I just, you know, you just, enough. Hold the secret. Prove to Michelle that we're a mature congregation.
You know what? I think it's easier to snow tomorrow for that to happen, but I'm going to support my wife on that.
Thank you.
I don't have that level of faith.
I believe that you can hold this.
We're talking about church.
Can you hold this? Thank you. I know you can.
I do believe in miracles.
Yes.
I'll let you go.
Okay. Anyway, and don't even ruin it for the second and the third service people, all right? Just keep off of your cell phones, your texting, and your Facebook. My God, until like Friday or Saturday. All right? Because the world's a small world, and I don't want it to ruin a surprise for her with her students. But she's like, Mom, I know you're dying to say something on Mother's Day. So, I am. And she was pregnant when she was here, but couldn't tell you. Anyway, but I told you now, today I've got a lot to cover. Is this clock right? 8:54? Affirmative. Okay, we're going to move really fast, and let's see how many of these pages I can get through, because I know how to do it really fast if we start running out of time, and I want to leave at least, we get out of here at 9:30, correct? Or, yes. Don't you laugh. I can do it. I can do it, because I want time for the altar, and I've got Danny and Parker have another song that I'm just going to tell you now. Don't be going to the bathroom towards the end. Don't be looking at your watch. You should have made your... when it's time to come to the altar, I would just like all of you to come to the altar. And then the ladies, married women and moms, I'm going to give you a present, and Donna will help me, and Pastor Mike, and Pastor Carl, my husband. But we want you to come up here to get that present. So there'll be a minute of contemplating what we get through. All right? Is everybody agreed? Good. See, it's Mama is in charge, and I can ask things like that. Believe to blessed. It's a movement. Believe to blessed. That's where we're going today. My talk today is about a tale of two swords. One is a weapon of love, and the other is an instrument of devastation. And my text is Luke 1:45. I could have had a text like this. I'm not a preacher, so it's hard for me to put anything down on paper, and to, because I'd rather just talk to you. And hopefully this comes out like that, like from my heart. But the text is Luke 1:45, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And blessed is she or he or anyone that's called upon to birth God's promises. Blessed is the man, the woman, is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. You know what was spoken to her from the Lord is the Logos. It's the word. It's the uttered word of God. And for those of you that missed out on the keep, which is every man in the place, except for a few chosen leaders, a couple of musicians, I'm going to recap the keep. And I have it in my notes quickly. I have to do it quickly, but I cannot start off without have you cold. Our emphasis this year, besides believe, you know, I talked to the Lord about the keep. I talked to him about the tents, the Feast of Tabernacles. And he is, to me, a God that has themes. And he puts it out there, and he goes, run in that direction. And for the keep, I knew that last year's theme was what, ladies? The fleur-de-lis, what was that all about? Loyal love. And the year before that? Well, loyal love and trust, okay? This year, it was on love. And the Greek word for love that we're looking at is agapao. Agapao. Some of you might have gotten the yellow t-shirts with the beautiful exploded rose in purple on it that Matthew did for me. This agapao is the verb to love. It's reference is Strong's 25. It's the love in John 3:16. We were given this theme through a dream. You all know John 3:16. For God so agapao that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is what we are about this year, learning. Learning how to do, learning how to be. And speaking about being, if you, on my brunch last week, instead of giving every woman in the house a word, which we did last year, we gave you free shopping, and we gave you a kiss from God, and we put that kiss on a scroll. Women had prayed over all of you that went last year, and then we asked God about you, and then we wrote it. But this year I turned the tables and I felt like, since it's all about training, because this is a church that's going to go out and the nations are going to come into it, and you've got to be, as I feel you are second to none in this region. First Assembly, you have a heart and you have a mind to work. And I believe that we will together obey the Lord and do what we're supposed to do for this region. We are strategically placed in this region. And so right now this year, we're about training ourselves. And so I said to the ladies, listen, instead of getting a word, what I want you to do is take a piece of paper, take one of the names, go home, pray over it for a week, and then write a scriptural prayer. Like, ask God about a scripture and then write it pertaining to that person. Now, I think I gave out about 100 or 80-something, and we don't have them all back yet. So Kathleen Youngquist will be calling you this week if you didn't bring yours. So you've got from now, today, until probably Friday of next week. I shouldn't even say that. But look, ladies, I want you to do it. It's an exercise, and God is watching. It's a test. And so let's get them in, and we'll put a basket in the back next week with your name on it. And you'll have a blessing, a scriptural blessing, and have been prayed for now 2 weeks by the lady that picked your name. All right? Our theme, Agapao, was given to us by way of a dream for those that didn't come to the keep. And what happened is in the dream, and I'll say who it is because this person stood up here. It was Eleanor Cruz. And in the dream, it was a series of three nights. And she'd come into this room in this presence and see these daggers, 12 daggers stacked. And every night she'd get closer. By the third night, she put out her hand and the dagger came into her hand. And she woke up from that dream and was able to sketch the dagger. It had Greek words on it. Could you show the hand? This is the drawn right out of her sleep. She's not an artist, and she doesn't know Greek. And the word on the handle is logos in Greek. And the word on the blade is agapao, to love. There were diamonds on the part that's shaded, and that is a red stone in the middle. And then there's Alpha and Omega on the two little corners. We were quite amazed with this because, you know, God does do some of those things around here, but still we never get used to it, and we never take it as commonplace. And so through the prayer, see, that to me was a confirmation that we were going in the right direction of love. And through prayer, God made it clear, yes, I want you to share it. Why would I draw you a picture if I didn't want you to share it? And so we began to ask him about it. And, you know, with that in mind, I want you to know that in the dream, the blade was singing. And you know what it was singing? It was singing in the beginning. You know how, like, you hit glass crystal and it rings, or you hit a blade and it sounds out? Here's what it was singing. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Do this and you will live. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. That's a compilation of John 1:1, and it's in Mark, and it's in Matthew, and I think it's in Luke. But I have Mark 10:27 down here. Okay? This was the dream. We asked God about it, and we started getting understanding so that we could share it. Jesus said with that scripture from Mark 10:27, that love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He said that all of the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments. But then in John 17, it's recorded. These are the last time Jesus was with his disciples. They were in the upper, not the upper room, they were at the Last Supper, and he was expounding, and he was talking to them, and they were celebrating the Passover, and he gave them these instructions from John 17. Well, it's not John 17, but it was right before John 17, but it's that whole period. These are like the last instructions he gave to his disciples. John 13, verse 34 and 35. I'm sorry I don't have stuff up here for you to write, but if you listen, you can jot it down. It won't be a problem. He said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is his final commandment. In other words, not just love the Lord your God with everything and then love your neighbor as yourself, but now let's take it a notch higher, kids. We're going to love one another as God has loved us. That is agapao. And that was our challenge for the keep. And that will be our challenge, because if how much believe and love are linked is astounding. The more I read, the more I'm astounded. Okay? At the keep, we had a progression. And the first night, we told about the dream, and we talked about how much God loved us. We even prepped the women by making them do a study on God's immeasurable love based on Ephesians 3, 16 and 17. I want to just read this verse to you from Wright, because I like the way Wright says it, and the way it is written fits with our handle. Ephesians 3, and you're familiar with it if you're familiar with your Bible, 16 and 17 says, "My prayer is this, that he will lay all the riches of his glory to give you strength and power through his spirit in your inner being. Be your root, your firm foundation, and that you may be strong enough with God's holy ones to grasp the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the King's love, though actually it's so deep that nobody can really know it. So may God fill you with all his fullness." See, that prayer, it's a scriptural prayer, and I bet some of you wrote it for people, because it is a good prayer that you would know the length, the breadth, the depth of God's love. But in a truest sense, we can't know that without God, just like we can't love God without God. We cannot conjure up and muster up anything in our Adamic nature that looks even anything close to righteousness. The only way we have righteousness is through the blood of Jesus. And when we are come in covered and protected and our sins washed away, then we can begin to, as we understand his love for us, begin to show it for our family, our friends, our people that are afar. Yeah, I mean, how hard is it for you to pray for countries that you don't know anything about? See, you can't. And, you know, we fake it. Oh, yeah, I beg God, please give me a heart. Give me compassion, because he knows I'm just going blah, blah, blah. Because without him piercing my heart, taking that dagger and going, "Renee, there's a whole land over there, and it's going to hell quick in a hand basket, not a handbag, thank you very much, on Mother's Day, okay? But it's going to hell fast, and I need you to pray. I need you to get up and pray, and I'll show you their faces." See, those are acts that God does to any of us, and he will do it if we ask him, because that's his desire. That is his desire. Nobody can really know the love of God. So at the keep, we started with that Ephesians 3 prayer, and we ended with the Ephesians 3, 16 and 17. And in the middle, we talked about us being bound to God with Romans 8, what can separate us from the love of God. And then we heard on Friday night about the King is wild for us. And you know what? Every night we were given things. And on that night, the King is wild for us. We were given a little perfume bottle from Egypt, a glass perfume bottle to remind you that we are the fragrance of Christ. And we surprised everybody on Saturday morning. I know they thought that we were going to get Beth Moore in here to speak. I am sorry. But what we did is, and if I told you, you wouldn't have come. And men, you're kind of the same way. If you think you have to work, you'll find some way out of it. When it means like you got to stand up and prophesy or pray or, you know, maybe a foot washing, anything like that, you just won't show up. Well, I knew if I told the girls, "You're all going to wear your T-shirts and you're all going to go out and do a mission of love," you wouldn't. And so I didn't say that. I said it was a photo op. Everybody came in their beautiful yellow T-shirts. Michelle was freaking out because she just hates things like that, you know. But we all came in our yellow T-shirts, and we had Mission Possible. And we sent everybody out to do the works of God based on a scripture. And so, they, again, you're getting the gist. We trained. We came back from that high on God, high on the fact that God cares and will use anybody. From child to elderly, how much knowledge? Newbie Christian, 50 years in the way. You know, which you're not really in the way if you're 50 years serving. Lord God, you're around for a reason. God wants you around. You know, that or you don't have it right and he's keeping you around to teach you. I don't know. No. So that was the keep, and we learned and we are learning about the sword. Could you show the artist rendition of that sword? I had Judy Milligan, who's an incredible artist, paint this. And see, that's what you see up there. Because, girls, I think we need word pictures. And so there's the word picture for you. And in a few minutes, as soon as I'm done here, and I'm doing pretty good, 9:17, is it? 9:10. Oh, good. I'm doing very good. As soon as I'm done with that part of the service, I'm going to give out four of these to girls that... I'm going to look around and see who needs to be reminded, because we're going to talk about the other sword now for a few minutes. This is the weapon of mercy, the weapon of love, God's weapon of love. And the other one is going to, we're going to go back into our story, but I want to tell you where I got this other weapon from. In one of Michelle's points, I think it was her first sermon, I'm convinced Romans 8, you know, what can separate us from the love of God. One of her points was that Jesus' true weapon of love was the cross. The true weapon of love is the cross. And, you know, when she said it, it just clicked in my spirit, because another lady from this church had a vision that we were going to try to hook up back here. But you know what? Enough is enough. Picture with your, you know, regenerated imagination. Picture that cross. See a crown on it, a royal kingly crown. See underneath that the crown of thorns. See in the middle of it a huge heart that's embedded into that cross. And the sides of the cross is the handle of the dagger. And then see that that cross comes down and it's a point and it is the dagger. You see, the cross was Jesus' weapon of love. And knowing the vision that woman had seen, hearing what Michelle said, and then getting a scripture, I started down a path of what actually turned a little different. Let's start at the beginning. Let's go to Luke 1. I'll start with verse 28. I've kind of just jumped around, and you know what? I pulled this off the computer, and it's kind of littler than my font when I'm typing, but I think I can do it, or I'll get my husband up here to help me. Okay. Gabriel comes to Mary. Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, and it starts off with, having come in, the angel said to her, and this is Gabriel, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now that part, "blessed are you among women," is not in many translations, but it is in my New King James, so I left it. Okay, "blessed are you among women, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Then Mary said to the angel, I'm jumping to verse 34 now. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is will be born will be called the Son of God." Going to verse 36 in that portion, "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative," and this is what he says, this is the clincher. Mary is not disbelieving in asking the way Elizabeth's husband asked. And I know for years as a newbie Christian, I used to think, well, for Pete's sake, God, they both asked a question here. And why did Zacharias get his mouth shut for 9 months? And why did Mary get to ask this question? But it's because, And you have to dig and study and then read a few commentaries. And they're not always correct, but the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit always gives you what you need. If you'll wait and you'll learn to wait before Him and not just always suck up what every other man says, the Holy Spirit will confirm to you what's needed in life. And so the Holy Spirit has made it very clear to me that Mary asked in faith. She was just asking in faith and when she said, "But I don't know a man." Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, Gabriel goes on to say, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Ladies, men, children, First Assembly, this is it. This is part of our belief. From now until Jesus takes us out. For with God, finish it with me, nothing will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible. And I know that the New King James might say nothing, or the New King James, I think, says nothing is impossible. But it's nothing will be impossible in many other translations. And I think that's an important difference in the sense that this is your hope, that no matter what you ask for, what did I say? All the promises of God are what? They're yes. So nothing is impossible to God. So you ask in faith, believing, and don't stop asking in faith unless He goes, like He has done. He did that to Samuel. Stop asking. Stop asking for Saul, for Pete's sake. I've chosen another. And if He does that to you, then fine. But in the meantime, in faith, ask, believe, because you'll never get the miracle without asking, believing. You'll never get the miracle. Well, why not try? And why not trust God that whatever the results are, He's all wise, all powerful, and all loving, and all kind, and all loyal love, and everything wrapped up more than you'd ever know. And so He would never withhold from you something that will bring in souls. Because, you know, we have a little saying around here, and it is scriptural, but even from my Believing God study with Beth Moore, I understand even more what he says when he says, "Everything I do for souls." What he means, I believe now, all the more, is not just the salvation, because that's your spirit, man, but your mind, will, and emotion, your soul that governs many times. Your soul needs to be saved on a regular basis. You have to be believing. You have to be hoping. You have stuff that comes at us. And right now, we are in a season here. We don't know what's going to happen. And so if we are not believing that our soul is being saved, he withholds the miracle, the outward manifestation, so he can do with that sword the inner work. Because that's what he does for souls. Everything he does for the soul. How you think, how you act, where your emotions are, all of it. And so he wants your soul rejuvenated, refreshed, washed, believing him, so that you can bear much fruit, because that's his command, that you would bear much fruit for my glory. So he does. He does everything for souls. And with God, with God, nothing will be impossible. And then Mary, she believes it. Mary says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed. Now, we jump from there to a few other things. And this is where I get my title from. First of all, I want you to remember that point. Believe when God says it. Believe instantly when he says it. Believe it because you know the character and the nature of your God. He is not man that lies. He does not hold back what is good for you. Unless there's a greater glory and a greater answer down the line. And we just don't get everything. We just don't get it all in the minute that he says it. Sometimes it takes years to understand the ways of God. Maybe you won't know till you close your eyes and face him in heaven. We don't always know. But Mary believed from that point on. Now, verse 39 says, "Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste." I mean, When you get it, you get it. And she got it. To a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Verse 41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice. Now listen, don't you get like nervous when people speak loud? When God comes in, when God's presence is around, believe me, there will be some loud. You cannot contain a magnificent, holy, majestic, never-ending, always loving, eternal, high God with a few words. You just won't be able to contain it. And obviously Elizabeth couldn't. So with a loud voice, she said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And then she goes on to say, verse 45 in that portion goes, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." That's our text. We got a bunch of blesseds here. We have a blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And I would say that from the commentaries, that word blessed is different than the blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things. And there is another blessed that is close to the blessed in 45. I'll keep reading, and then I want to just, if you'll let me, I just want to read a note from my key word Bible, if I can see it. She goes on to say, with a Magnificat, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." And you know, we know that. That's a very famous portion of Scripture. When I was studying, see, I was putting together, okay, a sword will pierce. Well, we'll keep going. I'll finish reading the scriptures, and then I'll go back, and I'll give you my reasoning, and then I'm going to give you why I'm giving you what you want, and we're going to go on. The reason Mary is blessed is located in the second blessing, the blessedness of the child she bore. Okay? And that word in Greek is different than the next blessed. But her first blessing is because she bore something in her womb. And we are blessed also when we get from God something in our womb. Our spiritual womb, men. Our spiritual womb. We all get to birth the promises of God. And the Magnificat is an incredible, incredible, and if you'll just allow me just to open it and just, you know, it comes from that first word, the magnificent. My soul magnifies the Lord. Her soul was the seat of her emotions. And it's that very soul that we, if we go over to Luke 2, we go to my next portion of Scripture, it's the same soul that the sword hits. I don't have time this service, but I will, because I'm at 9:21, and I want to get to talking to you about the different swords and what one sword will do and what the other sword needs to do in your life. Okay? But you know, what she cries out here, "My soul exalts the Lord and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Just reading through this, your spirit comes alive. "For he has regard for the humble state of his bond slave." Mary said, "Be it unto me, I am your maidservant." Paul says the same thing. That is a place of submission. That is a place of saying, "God, you are the authority in my life." Yes, we are free from sin, but we become a bond slave. And I'm sorry that term bothers some of you, but if it does bother some of you, it's probably because you have an authority issue. You don't want to be under anybody. "For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed." All right, I'm talking like I know, because I do know. It's not real easy. It's not. I still grow in submitting. Because the submission is in the heart. It's not the blah, blah. "For the Mighty One has done great things, and he will do great things for our congregation. He will do great things for you. And holy is his name, and his mercy is upon generation after generation." Folks, tell me what that mercy is. What did you learn about? Yes, loyal love. Thank you, my precious. Loyal love. That mercy is his loving kindness, his faithful loving kindness that he said he will give to every generation toward those who fear him, those that revere him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in their thoughts, in their heart, and he has brought down rulers from their thrones. He's about ready to do that. He's about ready to do that, hello, in this country. And he has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And Mary stayed with her for about 3 months. Incredible. It's the fruit of Mary's womb that she's blessed. It's her understanding how great God is and what he's done. And now, the next sword. Verse 33. And Joseph and his mother, that's Jesus' mother, marveled at the things that the prophet Simeon had said. They'd gone into the temple to dedicate Jesus. And two prophets were there waiting. Day and night, Anna stayed. And Simeon came up and he said everything that I don't have time to read, but you know the story. And his parents marveled. They marveled, they pondered, they treasured. Mostly Mary, the scriptures talk about, but here it's both father and mother. They marveled. They're astounded with what's said, at those things which were spoken to him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that will be spoken against. Verse 35, in parentheses, in the scriptures, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now that portion, that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, goes back to the end of 34. This child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Okay? Put that thing of Mary in the middle. And the sword, which when he brought that verse and he showed me that cross being the dagger, Jesus' love weapon, and he told us everything he told us about, the Logos and the Agapao and the blade singing, that the Word became flesh and dwelt, and in the beginning was the Word. When he started with all of these things, I honestly was looking to see that the swords were the same, and you know, they're not the same. The sword, and Robert's word pictures in the New Testament, the sword that pierces Mary's soul through is a large sword, properly a long Thyretian, I'm not saying it right, javelin. It's referred to as Goliath's sword. 1 Samuel 17, verse 51, if you're taking notes. How little Mary understood the meaning of Simeon's words that seemed so out of place in the midst of the glorious things already spoken. A sharp thorn in their roses, a veritable bitter sweet. But one day Mary will stand by the cross of Christ with this javelin clean through her soul. It is only a parenthesis here and a passing cloud perhaps over Mary's heart already, puzzled and raptured. The sword. The scripture relates the sword. It goes to Psalm 42, and it talks about the mocking words. That's the javelin that gets thrust in all of us. That's the javelin, the mocking, piercing words spoken against us. In Romans 8, as Michelle used for I Am Convinced, the portion that is who can have any charge against us? And that charge, what charge can stand against us in Romans 8? It's talking about a javelin. It's talking about the lies of the enemy, the lies of those that judge you, the lies that you hear in your head because it's not filled up with the truth. Those are the cutting words that will defeat your faith, will keep you from believing. And, you know, it's a hard portion, and you think, what are you nuts doing this on Mother's Day? Isn't Mother's Day supposed to be about flowers and roses and how much you love women? I love Mary here because Mary held fast till the end. And will you, church, will you? The Lord wants to know, will you hold fast to the end? Because it's coming, and it's coming rough. But he's given us so many promises through prophetic words, through his word, through the preaching of his word, Sunday after Sunday, after Wednesday, after Friday, after youth. He has told us that he will keep us if we stay in him, if we abide in his word. Mary was blessed, and that final blessed that's in that Magnificat, when she says that all generations will call me blessed, that refers to the fact that she is fully satisfied in God in her and has nothing to do with the circumstances. That word in Scripture is found there in Luke, and it's also found in James. James 5:10. But let me back up for a few minutes, because this is just going to make you go, and then we'll be done. All right? It's an exhortation. He goes on, like, say, from verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer who waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it. And it gets the early and the late rains. You too, be patient. First Assembly, will you? Strengthen your hearts. Strengthen your hearts together with the other saints, as we heard in Ephesians 3. Strengthen your hearts and stand and grasp the Logos and use the blade, the sharp two-edged sword, Hebrews 4 blade of love. Use it to cut away the false emotions, the things that are not true, the biting javelin words, everything the devil and this world throws on you. Use the truth to cut it away. Cut it away. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain, First Assembly, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we count those blessed. This word blessed, we count those blessed, is the same blessed as Mary. That's the blessed. I know we wrongly interpret that happy, but from a lot of the commentaries, and in some instances, happy means graced, favored, whatever. But here, this blessed, and the blessed in Luke, means you're blessed because you are indwelt with the Holy One of God. And because you are indwelt with his presence, you are filled to capacity with him, you will get through even what Job got through. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Hello, that is the same merciful as our loyal love. And let me end with this. Those blessed words there is the same terminology that we find in the Beatitudes in Matthew and in the Beatitudes in Luke. And we have been told about the Beatitudes by God, and we will be studying them, at least in my adult Sunday school class. That's my next course of study, is blessed. But it's not happy, happy because the situation is this or the situation is that. It's blessed because of the presence of the indwelling God in us. And folks, God just wants to know today, if you're ready to make a decision, that no matter what comes, the sword that pierces your soul, the money that drops, the money you lose, he wants to know, will you stand? Will you believe him? I have a word. And then when I'm done with this word, I'd like Danny and I can't think of your name again. Parker. I'm so sorry. You're a beautiful son, too. I would like you to come and sing your final song. And I picked this song because it's about the song we started with, or we ended our worship with, which was More. Now it's 9:33. Hold on to your hats. If you get this right and you respond to God, you'll get your presence and you'll get to get out. If you come, boys, listen to this prophecy, and then they'll begin to play. See, this is what we get when we sit in prayer. We, meaning any of us, not just me, you get the same thing. You get this message. You know the present I have for you, ladies? It's a teardropped, beautiful flower. It's pink because pink is innocence. But it's a teardrop because God says, even though the sword will pierce your soul, I capture your tears in a bottle. I have seen your wanderings, First Assembly. I have seen your wanderings, men, women, children. I've seen them. I'm capturing those tears, and I'm going to use it to water what I want it to water. That's why I've chosen the teardrop necklace. Listen to what the Lord says. Take this. Just because it's written down and I'm reading it is no less the Word of God. Please understand that we are in it. We are in it. I don't know when it will manifest in the way that he says here, but we are in this First Assembly, and we're in it together, and we're going to love together, and we're going to help each other through it. Listen to my mother's heart today. I will shake the very land, says the Lord. I will remove the blanket of comfort from beneath so many that feel comfortable. I will show my strength and power in ways that the land of America has never seen. From California to New York, I will humble the proud. I will show mercy to those that have given mercy. That's your beatitude. Dry, dead churches will be uprooted. Dry soil will become wastelands. The churches that have allowed my river to flow through, I will submerge in my spirit. I am getting ready to reveal myself in a way that has yet to be seen. Those who cry out to me, those who love and long for me, I will not turn away from. My ear will hear the cries, those that are marked, those that have spent time with me. I will hear their cry. Watchmen, get on the walls. Open your eyes and see. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Awaken churches from your slumber. Allow me to shake you. Allow my fire to consume you. Allow yourselves to be strengthened by my spirit. Allow yourselves to stand firm and proclaim my glory. So many are falling around you. Allow your hands to be my hands. You must wake up and believe that this is the time of rescue. The fields are ripe. I am calling the harvesters to the fields. I am returning. You must work while it is still day. I am a holy God and an all-consuming fire. What if I were to shut the mouths of the prophets? Would you not long for my word? Do not take my words lightly. I work through those I choose. So many words go in one ear and out the other. This must go deep into your soul. The Spirit of Almighty God is crying out. Who will go? Who will submit? Who will line up? Who will allow themselves to be disciplined? Who will die to their unholy desires? Who will allow themselves to see what I see? I am asking my church, my body, will you go forth knowing that I equip you? You will lack nothing. Open your mouth and allow my spirit to work through you. Submerge yourself in my word. Consume my word that it may consume you. I am preparing a place for you. I am returning. The fields are ripe. Go forth in love. Will you come forth in love now, First Assembly? And will you just stand? You don't have to kneel. Just stand in agreement to God's word for us and for you personally. Will you ladies prepare your heart? And gentlemen, I'm sorry, you'll get something cool for Father's Day, but will you understand that this is a gospel that is mixed with glorious joy and suffering? It is the bittersweet that Mary. It is. My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord, she said. But in the next breath, a prophet came and said, and a sword will pierce your soul. Will you take those emotions and take that dagger, his word and his truth, and cut away the emotions that will not serve you, will not let you stand? Will you make up your mind that you're going to trust God to capture your tears?